Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will talk with cardiologist and author of the famous South Beach Diet, Dr. Arthur Agatston. Dr. Agatston will share with us his thoughts about the obesity and diabetes epidemic in America today. We will discuss a nutritional and lifestyle approach for effective weight loss. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, Americans are lacking in effort to cut hypertension and cholesterol. A new report by the Centers for Disease Control states that about two-thirds of adults in the United States who have high cholesterol levels and almost half who have high blood pressure are not being treated as effectively as they should be. Bill Hendricks of WebMD Health News summarizes the report by stating that more than 80% of people whose blood pressure or LDL bad cholesterol is not under control have either private or public insurance, indicating that a lack in vigilance and effort may contribute to countless unnecessary deaths. Heart attacks, strokes, and related vascular diseases kill more than 800,000 Americans annually, more than any other condition. Of these, 150,000 are younger than the age 65. CDC Director Dr. Thomas Frieden says that tens of thousands of lives could be saved with simple, low-cost treatments to reduce blood pressure and cholesterol levels. Although we're making some progress, the United States is failing to prevent the leading cause of death, cardiovascular disease, despite the existence of low-cost, highly effective treatments, Frieden said in a news release. We need to do a better job of improving care and supporting patients to prevent avoidable illness, disability, and death. Well, here's a report that says turmeric shows promise in reducing head and neck tumor growth. The journal Clinical Cancer Research published the outcome of a study conducted by researchers at UCLA that demonstrated a potential for curcumin, a compound that occurs in the spice turmeric, to suppress a pathway involved in head and neck cancer growth. Marilyn Wang and her associates tested the effects of curcumin in a study involving 21 patients with head and neck cancers. Prior and immediately after chewing tablets that provided 1,000 milligrams of curcumin, the subjects provided saliva samples that were analyzed for pro-inflammatory cytokines that fuel cancer growth. Samples obtained 1 hour later were evaluated for the activity of IKKB kinase, an enzyme involved in inflammation that activates nuclear factor kappa B, which increases cancer growth. Dr. Wang and colleagues found a reduction in salivary pro-inflammatory cytokines as well as inhibition of the cell signaling pathway involving IKKB kinase following administration of curcumin. Well, more and more research is showing that inflammation has been linked to heart disease, cancer, metabolic syndrome, Alzheimer's disease, and muscle loss with aging. And to potentially reduce inflammation, it is wise to eat a diet rich in beans, vegetables, fruits, and whole grains, and to replace butter and margarine with liquid oils. Now, there are some examples of studies to support this. When you look at the Mediterranean diet as the first area of study, Italian researchers assigned 180 people with the metabolic syndrome to eat either Mediterranean diet, which is rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, and olive oil, and low in saturated fat, or to follow advice on healthy food choices. After 2 years, the Mediterranean group had lower levels of several inflammatory markers, but that may be because they also lost more weight. Other areas of study have been involved in the areas of olive oil and nuts. In a Spanish study of roughly 100 people at risk for cardiovascular disease, inflammatory markers dropped more in those assigned to eat a Mediterranean diet with extra virgin olive oil or nuts than those who ate the same diet without extra virgin olive oil or nuts. Another study involved fruits and vegetables. In a German study, men who were told to eat 8 servings of fruits and vegetables a day had lower levels of inflammatory marker C-reactive protein, or CRP, than those told to eat 2 servings a day. An additional study that was done on legumes is also very interesting. It showed that in a Spanish study of 30 obese men and women, those who were told to cut calories and eat 4 servings, each about a cup of lentils, chickpeas, peas, or beans a week, had lower CRP levels than those who cut calories without eating legumes. We'll be back with more after this quick break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
Our question for today are, what types of green vegetables are good calcium sources if you don't drink milk? Now, there are several green vegetables that really stand out, and those are kale, collards, napa or Chinese cabbage, and broccoli. All these are excellent sources of calcium. The fact that they do not contain cholesterol or saturated fat, as dairy products do, is another bonus, and I recommend these sources of calcium over dairy products as a healthier choice.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Our special guest today is Dr. Arthur Agatston, MD. Dr. Agatston is a leading preventive cardiologist and is the creator and author of the South Beach Diet. He is an associate professor of medicine at the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine and a pioneer in the field of non-invasive cardiac imaging. On today's program, I will be sharing with you an interview that I did with Dr. Agatston at the Conference of the American Dietetic Association. Glad to have you here, Dr. Agatston.
Good to be with you, John.
Tell me a little bit about, first of all, you know, we know we're in an obesity epidemic here in our country today. From your perspective, what's the problem?
Well, we tried an unintended experiment in America about 30 years ago with the low-fat, high-carb approach. That was before the science of understanding the importance of fiber and how rapid foods are digested. That's called the glycemic index. And in the attempt to be low-fat, we consumed an unprecedented amount of processed carbohydrate, of white bread, baked goods, many foods that were advertised as zero fat and zero cholesterol, which they were, but they were digested rapidly. They caused wild swings in blood sugar. And in a sense, we've been walking around starving. We've had epidemic obesity and the syndrome of metabolic syndrome, or what's called prediabetes. 40% of Americans over the age of 40 are prediabetic. And This is because of all these processed foods and the bad fats, in particular the hydrogenated oils, the nefarious trans fats. And that's really what's caused, I believe, the epidemic over the last 20, 30 years of obesity, diabetes. And we're now exporting it to the rest of the world to the degree that other societies substitute fast food for their traditional diets. The exact same thing is happening.
And adult onset diabetes, now we're seeing in kids at 7 years of age.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. What was called adult onset now and type 2 diabetes, we're really seeing in teens and even preteens. And often as we export it, societies that are less able to handle the Western diet, they have even more obesity than in the United States. You know, the island of Hawaii is interesting because there were studies early on that the Japanese populations, as they moved from Japan to Hawaii to California to the Midland, got fatter and fatter and more coronary disease as their traditional diet was left behind them. And more recently, there have been studies in Okinawa where they had the greatest longevity in the world with the American bases. Then came fast food, and now there's diabetes and obesity and shorter lifespans that they never experienced before.
In fact, there's a good article in National Geographic. They talk about longevity, and they feature the Okinawa population, the Seventh-day Adventist population, and also group in Italy, too, in showing their longevity. And what they show is the key things with the longevity is they don't smoke, they eat lots of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, our message really now is the diet debates are over these principles of the good carbs, the vegetables, whole fruits, and whole grains, and the good fats, the omega-3 and Mediterranean oil. And this is how we evolved eating, is really as hunter-gatherers. We gathered fruits and vegetables, and we hunted big game meat, which was high in protein, but the fat in the big game meat was much better than the fat in the grain-fed meat today. It had a lot of omega-3, it had good fat. And the challenge now is really getting the message out and making it easier for Americans to make healthy choices.
I wish you were here with my colleague, Dr. Terry Shintani. I don't know if you know Terry. Of course, he works with the Hawaiian people, getting them back to their traditional diet, as you're talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We have to go back to the traditional diets. And, you know, in a sense, it would be all good if we all went back a few generations with family dinners cooked from scratch and traditional foods. And, you know, at least in mainland the United States, it's unlikely that we'll do that with all the working moms and working dads. And that's why we have to make some of the fast, convenient foods healthier. It's ideal to go back to the whole foods and working from scratch, but we have to figure out ways with people who are on the run to still eat healthy.
Now let's talk about the South Beach diet. How did this South Beach diet all get started?
Well, my orientation, I was a clinical cardiologist and research cardiologist interested in prevention. And one of the applications that Dr. Janowitz and I started was the non-invasive heart scan for early detection of arteriosclerosis. Once we saw people with arteriosclerosis years before they had a heart attack or a stroke, the challenge was preventing.
Is that the EBT scanning?
EBT scan.
Yeah.
Well, that is the best predictor. Everybody has their own threshold of cholesterol where it's really getting into the vessel wall. So this test really tells better than anything else who's at risk. But then what are you going to do about it? And we have good medications. The best of the medications are the statin drugs, the Lipitors and Mevacors and Provacol and Zocors. And they can decrease heart attack rates up to 30%, but that leaves 70% of people who are still at risk. And a lot of that at risk has to do with diet. And back in the 90s, when I was taught about prediabetes, metabolic syndrome, the role of insulin in our obesity, I began to see it in my practice. We tried the good fats, good carbohydrate diet with great success. So we started to report our results at national meetings, and the local media picked it up. They asked us to put South Florida on the diet, and that's when it became South Beach and went into the public realm.
Now, I think there's some confusion because, you know, we had, of course, Dr. Atkins' diet, and then some people thought, well, the South Beach was similar in some respects to it, and of course now, actually, Dr. Atkins, of course, he passed away, and his diet's kind of gone. It's not popular today, and your diet has more or less replaced the big interest in his diet was so popular. How is your diet different than a lot of the other diets, or the high-protein diets and so forth?
Well, Dr. Atkins' diet, the original one, he actually changed in his last book, but emphasized high saturated fat. And we emphasize the good fats. The good fats are not neutral. They're good for your waistline. They're good for your blood vessels. The Mediterranean oils, olive oil, canola oil, the omega-3 fish oils, which you also find in green leafy vegetables, in nuts, particularly walnuts. And these have tremendous health benefits. And the other thing he believed was that at the beginning you should limit all carbohydrates to the point that you go into ketosis and that you can sustain this really low carbohydrate diet. And as we mentioned, we get so much fiber and important nutrients from the carbohydrates that we never want to limit them for a sustained period of time. And one thing I've realized in recent years, how much America, particularly American children, are literally malnourished, undernourished, even though they're overfed. They're often on pure starch diets, and they're not getting the fruits and vegetables that have all the nutrients and the fiber and the whole grains. And that affects their school performance. I think a lot of attention deficit is due to really this malnutrition, but it's not malnutrition in the traditional sense of not getting enough calories. These kids are overweight, but literally malnourished.
Let's just give a little brief overview of your diet. And I know it goes, there's different phases to it. For someone just listening, they're not familiar with the diet. Of course, they can pick up the book, The South Beach Diet, but just kind of give us a little synopsis of it.
Sure. It is in three phases. In the first phase is restrictive. We eliminate all starches, all sugars, including those in alcohol and in fruits for the first 2 weeks. We encourage plenty of veggies. We also not even whole grains or no bread in the first 2 weeks. And so it's relatively high in protein, and we encourage the good fat and, again, plenty of veggies. The purpose of the first 2 weeks is for people who are significantly overweight, particularly with central obesity, who have cravings, who we know are in a sense pre-diabetic. And you get substantial weight loss in the first 2 weeks, so it's a good positive feedback. But the main thing is you get rid of your cravings. You get rid of these exaggerated swings in blood sugar that's causing so many Americans to supersize. Once you do that, then you have control over what you eat, and you can gradually add back the fruits and the whole grains based on glycemic index, which is a measure of how fast they'll cause swings in blood sugar. So with fruits, you'd start with some berries or an apple and start with a true whole grain bread or whole grain pita bread. And you monitor your response in phase two as you gradually add back these foods. And weight loss is slower than about 1 to 2 pounds per week. We don't want to continue with rapid weight loss because then you lose some lean body mass, muscle and bone, and that lowers your metabolism and leads to yo-yo dieting. So in the end, the slower weight loss is the more permanent weight loss. And once you've reached your goal, then the third phase is where there's no absolute restrictions, but you've learned the pecking order of the different foods. You know to choose a sweet potato instead of a white potato. It has more fiber, more nutrients, brown rice instead of white rice, pita bread instead of white bread. And that's where it's truly a lifestyle. And even if you have no weight to lose, following these principles is the healthiest way to eat.
I recommend on our program a vegan or vegetarian type of diet. Can the South Beach diet be made on a vegan vegetarian type approach?
Yes, in fact, we've actually had a vegetarian South Beach diet from the beginning, even a vegan approach. And the challenge for the vegans is finding sources of protein, which is a similar problem whether it's South Beach or not. What we have seen, and although most vegetarians are healthy and thin, some are overweight because they're eating the bad carbohydrates. So if they're eating cakes and white bread, then they can still be overweight and not optimally nourished. So the principles of including the good fats and the good carbs, and usually their source of protein are lean soy and beans, so that's not much different. But concentrating on the right carbs and the right fats is important.
Now, it was brought up here at the meeting, and I have to say how much I appreciate you, too, for what you're doing, is why aren't more cardiologists like yourself talking about the nutrition-diet link? It just seems like many cardiologists don't think there is a relationship, or they don't really play it up as much as it should be.
Well, you know, there's always a sort of a lag time in medicine before something becomes well established in the academic realm to pass to the community. More and more cardiologists are understanding, but they were frustrated like I was for many years. They had literally given up with any diet counseling because the low fat, high carb guidelines, when we didn't know good carb from bad, or good fat from bad fat, it was a disaster. They just didn't have any success. So when the medications came around, they said, okay, you know, forget this diet anyway. I'm just giving the medications. But the medications are a Band-Aid, and especially for the majority of patients in cardiac care units have a sugar insulin problem. They're either true diabetics or pre-diabetic. And so if you don't hit that with a diet lifestyle approach, you're just not going to be nearly as successful. So we're gradually getting the word out there. I think there's more and more interest, but ultimately the patients have to be empowered, and they're going to have, when they are asking the right questions to the doctors change. The pharmaceutical companies found that early on, once we knew some of the statin drugs were really good and life-saving, the message to the medical community that just about 15% of people who by national guidelines should have been taking a statin drug actually were. That's why they advertised directly to the public, and it did help. And that's one of the reasons why, although it happened accidentally, I'm very happy to be going directly to the public, because that's what's going to change things the fastest, including doctors' practices, I believe.
Yeah, here at the convention, of course, you're working with one of the biggest food companies in America today, Kraft Foods, and have some South Beach products. I have to tell you, the whole grain crackers I put in my daughter's lunch every day, because she's really eats healthy foods, and try to get her on whole grains. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the Kraft Food Company.
Yeah, well, again, it was our goal to really help change the way America eats once we had the success of the book. And I felt that to do that, you had to make fast, convenient food healthy. And we could have been absolute purists and partnered with Grandma's Organic Farm, but it wouldn't have helped the country. It wouldn't have. And to really change things, we had to convince a major food company that these principles were the way to go. And that Kraft had actually come to us, but along with many, many other suitors who wanted us to license their products. And Kraft got it, and were willing to make the investment and a true partnership to try to make convenient food healthy. And I hope that as we learn more and more about nutrient density of food, we can come out with other products that will make it much easier to be healthy.
Well, in closing our interview, I just want to ask you about where do you see the future, as dietitians here at the American Dietetic Association, the nutrition field, how it will tie in with the whole medical field. It's been a real slow process. Do you see anything any quickening of this?
I hope so, because, you know, 20 years ago, as I mentioned, doctors were frustrated with the results of nutrition. And again, the nutrition science of fiber and nutrient density wasn't appreciated. One thing we know now is that supplements, we can't take out these good nutrients and put them in a pill. And it was just in recent years we're beginning to understand why. There are literally thousands of micronutrients, flavonoids, polyphenols, and all the fruits and vegetables that work together in ways that it's going to take a long time till we understand. But we know they're crucial for our health. So you absolutely need the whole food approach. And the only way to do that is with a nutritionist. The doctors don't have the knowledge or the time, but at least hopefully they'll have the knowledge to put patients in the hands of good nutritionists. And so I think it really is in their hands. And it's not, you know, it's cardiovascular disease, but what we're believing in more and more, it's sort of a final common pathway that we're having a very inflammatory diet, that inflammation plays a role with coronary disease, with cancer, with other degenerative diseases. And this doesn't happen in societies that are following the principles that we're talking about. So I think there's just an absolute crucial future for the nutritionist to be right in the middle of this and working with a lot more knowledge and tools than they were 10 or 20 years ago, which is similar to medicine. In cardiology, you know, when I did my training, we might have been killing more people than we were helping. And now we're helping people a lot more and with more knowledge. And so there's a lot more for all of us to sink our teeth into.
Thank you very much for being with us today.
Really good being with you, John.
And that was our interview with Dr. Arthur Agatston, telling us about his South Beach Diet program for weight loss, diabetes control, and cardiovascular health. For more information about these topics, visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's healthandlongevityradio.com. We have valuable resources on that website that can help you. We'll be back with a final word right after this short message.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.